Good morning and happy Monday, Value First Nation, LinkedIn friends. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It's October 13th, 2025. How are
It
you doing,
is.
Nico?
Doing well, sir. Doing very well this morning. Have a lot had a lot go on this weekend, including Tron Ares, obviously, released on Friday. Some of us went Thursday night and then went again on Friday because why not? So there's that. I'm very obviously was very excited for it. Obviously still very excited about it. Probably on the same, almost on the same level as Dune 2 for me. Close, like just in terms of like how excited I was about it and still like how amazing it is to me. And yeah, I mean like that was kind of the big, like honestly, it's kind of the big one for me because I am, if you guys don't know, I'm a huge fan of simulation theory. Love everything to do with it because I really do think that it lines up 1000%. So these types of movies are very much that philosophical look at like, okay, well, what happens when you bridge these worlds? Like, what does that look like? And at the same time, it very much touched on that Blade Runner aspect of things of like, okay, well, what is it, how do we define fake versus real? And, what does it mean to be, to make that transition or like which life is actually better, right? But at the same time was this very, very grounding aspect that I think I'm not entirely sure of this, but I really do think it's a great subliminal message for people that like just the, there's a it doesn't really ruin anything for you, if you haven't seen it, but there's a sequence where, Dillinger is working with Ares and through working with him sort of explains to his colleagues that like, hey, that's the nature of the beast that like, there's no big deal because he's a program. I can just remake him anytime I want to. I can do whatever I want to with him. I can make him do whatever I want. I can, come up with hundreds of them or whatever. And again, like Ares represents this, like that's the thing is we hadn't really looked at these characters in this way. And now I do. So like when I first saw Tron, it was just very cool because it was simulation theory and it was like, wow, that's amazing. Like this is so crazy cool. And then second, like in Tron Legacy was very much like what Demis is talking about now. Demis Hassabis is talking about biodigital jazz, like being able to manipulate your biology from a like virtual technological standpoint. So it's not really so much manipulating your biology as much as it is manipulating the code that makes up your biology. And now we go into Tron Ares, and at the time that we're at now, I realize that like this entire time, those people are agents. All of those people are just AI agents. They're not even necessary. Like we say software, and there's this whole thing of like a Flynn where he's like greetings program, but we never processed what the program was. We never processed that the program could be ChatGPT. The program could be Gemini. So it turns out that these things were AI pretty much the entire time, but like we really weren't encapsulating it like that. And each one that does its own function means that it's a different agent that performs a different set of things that it's supposed to do. So there was this whole thing to me of like, wow, okay, like now my perspective definitely changes in terms of like how I'm going to be interacting with AI and agents like go forward simply because of that. Like, and it's like compounded because it's like, oh, Ares Legacy original. And like now I'm rethinking. Now I have to go back and watch all of them because there's a whole new perspective now for me to like view that whole thing through. Yeah.
I definitely watched all three within about 48 hours of each other. And that was actually the first time I had watched the original Tron, like all the way through.
Wow.
I was a big fan of Tron Legacy when it came out. It was, first of all, like, so thankful that the trailer didn't like ruin anything, any part of the story at all. Like, it was just super well done. Even when you texted how good it was just a perfect, like, little just, you know, push, to just sit there with a big old, you know, smile on my face the whole damn movie. like everybody, like every role felt right. It just felt so good. But afterwards, I was thinking, you know, and even I've said several times, like, all right, when's Ready Player One going to get here? And this whole like concept of us going there, right?
Yeah.
Like bringing humans into digital spaces, like this concept of it happening the other way, right? And we're already there. Like when you break it down, like we're already there where we're doing things in digital space and then bringing it into physical space, right?
Yep.
And like figure three, I guess, like it's, we're there. Like we're not, like the only thing we're not is like, I don't know what the plasma walls are that come out of the back of vehicles or whatever, like level of technology. Like that's the only thing that we're not doing yet. Right.
Like, yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, just give figure three, like a few more months. And basically you could probably go somewhere and create that airplane hangar that you see in a movie.
Like, yep.
And I guess the lasers, that part won't be there yet, but it's like basically creating based on digital, like understanding and digital design.
But that's right? The thing is like the lasers were really just a fancy 3D printer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So like,
very interesting to think about it from that perspective in that it seems so far away, but when you break it down, like you did, like, we're already here. Like this is already happening. And it does change the perspective of like the direction that we go, physical to digital or digital to physical, like changes the journey and changes like the effort involved and how you think about what's going to happen and why it might happen, you know, this way. So super, super interesting. I loved it. I loved it a lot. Like Jared Leto, man. So good.
that's got to be the funniest part of it to me is the reactions from most people. And, you know, I think a lot of, I don't know what a lot of people were expecting. I really don't care. To me, it is like the continuance of, again, it's the continuance of a sort of like a philosophical way of thinking. There is story to it for sure. But to me, it's not about that. So it's like, you know, you have murder mystery movies and they're about the mystery, and you have, you know, action movies and they're about the plot between the antagonist and protagonist, and romance movies and that's about the relationship and the hardships back and forth. These types of movies, sci-fi, it's about the fantasy, right? It's about the possibilities. It's about the theories that go on there. It's not necessarily about like, oh, well, you know, I didn't think that this looked very realistic, or I didn't think that, you know, this thing didn't happen. I mean, I used to do that kind of stuff when I was younger too. But now that I've like gotten older and fallen into more of like, oh, I understand what that means, and like seeing it more from that lens. Yeah. I mean, I could not have imagined somebody better for that role than Leto. Like he really, I don't know. He nails how you think the character would act. It's the best way I can put it. So I don't like, I know other people like, oh my gosh, you know, he's going to ruin the movie or whatever. You know, I get it. I really do. You know, you guys, you're carrying over that Joker hate and you got to let it go. Look, I let it go too. It was really, it got worse after the Snyder cut. It, you know, it obviously didn't make things any better. I'm not going to try to justify it. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Just let it go. Just let it go. Give the guy a second chance, right? We did the same thing for RDJ, right? We can do it for Leto. So, yeah, I mean, if you let that go, it is a great performance. It's not like whatever Academy Award winning or anything like that, but it's a great performance in terms of like, he matches that character. Athena, like the, I don't want to butcher the last name. I know what the last name kind of sounds like. I'm not going to butcher it. The woman who plays Athena, was also in, Black Panther and has been in, several other movies, but, Woman King. Just perfect for that role, right? And that the relationship between those two, sort of like very, very perfect, right? And yeah, even the human characters, on that, but I liked the idea of, which wasn't really covered in Legacy and wasn't necessarily covered, here in Ares, but you do catch a glimpse of it where, okay, what if, right? And there's a series out there on, Amazon. If you haven't seen it, it's actually really amazing. Sci-fi guys, you're going to love it and you can dupe your girlfriends into it because it's also got a really decent love story to it. It's called Upload and the premise behind it is exactly what it sounds like. After or near your death, you sort of like, it's kind of based on Vanilla Sky. Like at the time of your death, you get uploaded to this virtual, you know, role-playing game per se, let's say, that, you know, mimics real life in some ways and, you know, is fantasy in others. And of course it is based on, monetary. So, you know, the wealthier you are in real life, then you get to enjoy this, you know, really, you know, whatever rich place in virtual. Anyway, point being that even in that series, you know, that was a thing that happened, right? Where you could go from having to worry about your health to not ever having to worry about your health or like having to worry about, you know, food, eating, like all that kind of stuff to like not ever having to worry about that. And then at some point, in the show, I forget what season it is. There's a character in the show that actually does just that. They take over the body of this like, robot and they walk around in the physical world as this robot. So yeah, like I see all of these things like coming to fruition in like a really short amount of time, like easily inside of a decade. I think by 2035, you may not see it because it's super, super complicated. It may be. I think, you know, I say these things, but at the same time, it's like by 2030, we're going to have super intelligence, which is going to work out everything else. Literally. Like, I think that's what you guys don't grasp is that, like, we're already on the doorstep of whatever everyone will agree upon to consider AGI, right? Which would be this, you know, self-learning, self-guided, you know, physical, self-aware, world aware thing, right? That could do everything that a human could do in the same ways in which a human could do it. We're on the doorstep. We're about 6 months away tops. Like actually like a year top. I'll be nice. I'll say a year tops, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be 6 months away. The brain will be there 3 months before the body does. But the fact that we got a new figure body in the same year that we released one, that should be shocking to people. That should be seriously shocking to most people that we did four model. So like, I'm just going to do it this way. We did four brain releases in 1 year, four brain upgrades and two body upgrades. That's not going to get slower. So you can expect next year to see at least six brains but I'm not entirely sure we're going to, because we're still not responsible for where we're at. We took a very brand new thing and turned it into a toy and started making memes and GIFs and all sorts of stupid stuff, burning up countless amounts of compute for this kind of thing. And I would guesstimate at least 3 to 4 iterations on body. So by next summer, you're going to see something that makes Figure 3 look like a geriatric citizen. And then by the end of next year, you're probably going to see a robot that, you're going to see a robot that can, like, physically, like, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to see a robot that can, like, do calisthenics and then, like, shift fluidly from, like, doing that to doing whatever. It's going to move and look and react, think, and speak every bit the same as you. Yeah. By the end of next year, put money on it if you want to, because we reached where I thought we were going to reach this year 3 months faster.
Right. And thank you for that reminder. Because here's this clip. I'm going to play this clip from a recent podcast that is not talking about AI predictions. It's talking about how bad, you know, industry experts or industry analysts, like the Gartners of the world, like the people you pay a lot of money for to determine what the future could be, what forecast could be. Just super enlightening. And I need to share sound when I do that. But yeah, it's such a great, it's just a great, here, I'm sharing it and we'll start it.
Yeah.
Now.
So this is an exponential graph with Vinod Khosla on it. And what he did was he went back. We saw exponential growth of mobile phones through the decade of the 2000 to 2010, doubling every 2 years. Okay. He went back and he had a research analyst go and look at what did all the industry expert analysts say would be the growth of mobile phones. And in 2002, they predicted 16% growth year on year. Okay. 2 years later, gone up 100%. And the 2004 prediction was not 18 or 20 or 25%. It went down. It went down to 14% growth.
Predicted.
Why? Because they thought they would be 14% growth because they thought it would level off. Okay. We just had 100% growth over 2 years. It's got to level off now. In 2006, they predicted 12% growth. It went up another 100% in reality. And between 2006 to 2008, it went up another 100%, and they predicted 10% growth. Okay. Then it went up another 100%. I mean, how much more wrong can you be from 10% prediction when the actual reality is 100%? So this is the mobile phone predictions of all the top analysts, by the way, Gartner's, all these guys, okay? So this is kind of critical. But this slide, I think, is killer. And if you were driving, pull over and park and just look at this for a second, what you see in the black is the actual growth of solar energy over a 15, 20-year period, okay? What you see in the colored lines are the, and in the curve, by the way, is a total hockey stick up and to the right, an exponential of epic levels, okay, just going vertical. What you see in the colored lines, which are all horizontal, are the predictions year after year from the top energy experts in the world as to the future of solar. And what we see is every time solar goes literally vertical, all the experts go linear.
They basically say year after year. It can't continue scaling like it's been.
It's got to level off. Right?
Yeah.
Year, and this goes from like 2012 to 2017, 2018. Okay. Now the 2018 graph was even worse. It actually showed it going down. The cost is dropping 50% every 18 months. How do you predict that it's going to go down? This kind of drives me nuts because this is not a math error. This is a cognitive error. And these, by the way, let me just point out again, these are not lay people. These are the top energy experts in the world getting it 180 degrees wrong, right? Literally, if I made predictions like this year after year, I should literally lose my job if I'm that far different from the reality.
Yep. It reminded me.
Last part, right?
Yeah.
These people, And this is why, yeah, this world of AI is going to be different, because they're like these cognitive like biases, these complexity, like these things that humans have shown that they're incapable of understanding. Like AI is not gonna, that's not gonna be a thing, right? So while it's doing that, humans are going to continue to not predict accurately. And the reason I point out the AI part is going to be doing its thing and like being as objective as possible while it does it. Humans should have been losing their jobs, like related to this terrible, terrible forecasting and modeling, and but they haven't.
No.
They've kept on being the top of the industry. And it's just like, it's mind blowing. So if that's the structure that we have in place, right? And think of, when you think of these things, mobile phones and solar energy, like energy is already, was already an infrastructure, and like solar is a new version of it, but mobile phones was not. Like that was a brand new infrastructure, like built in, for humans to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when something hasn't existed before, like we just suck at predicting what's going to happen. So Moonshot's podcast is so good, just to listen to, you know, smart and successful people talk about what's happening from just about every angle. And that was, Salim Ismail. He always brings this is what's happening on the ground takes, like in every country, and how governments are thinking about this. And then like Alec Wiesner-Gross, every time, every episode, he's speeding up his timeline. Like it gets faster and faster. It's like super smart, like math focused dude. And it's like, yeah, like until you see any, like we, as humans, we have to try and create excuses for it to go slower.
Right.
Like that, what he said, like the feeling of, oh, it's got to level off. We can't do that again.
Yeah.
Like, well, the data says otherwise.
And like the reality of it is like, that's, we're seeing that everywhere. Right. And like, he goes on, a little bit after that to talk about why this is happening. And he talks about orthogonal technological push and the fact that basically what's happening is this technology is hitting every sector that it touches out of left field. So like the adoption of the tech to the field or to the sector is bringing about a change technologically that is so radical that you could not have predicted it to happen before. Right. So, you know, again, like just in terms of like, even like software, right? Like software development, right? That's one thing that right away. It's like, okay, applied to software development, that starts going away. It starts eroding. I mean, over 3 years, we have eroded everything from a junior software developer up to probably, I would say, like a mid-level to high-end developer. Or just a junior level programmer to high end developer. It's an entire slew of jobs. You're talking about like junior college degree all the way up to 4-year college degree has been eaten up. If you're talking about education, there are already schools that are just AI schools with just AI teachers. It's already happened in education. Okay. In accounting, it should be happening. It's just a matter of time. Human translation obviously should have happened already. So that's just a matter of time, right? Like there are fields that are just that wholesale should not exist in terms of like humans doing them. Right. And it's only been something that's pretty much been, since like 5 years, like 6 years, right? Starting with like Google Translate and things like that. I mean, realistically, ever since, you know, Siri and assistants, but more recently and more usefully. And now it's going into like what, where all of this is coming from is the financial sector, right? All of these analysts, and what you should look at, and Salim didn't mention with those charts, those people that are making those predictions are doing it because hedge funds exist. Balance is a thing. It exists in everything that you look at. I don't care. Show me something, I'll show you the balance. If there are people that are making mountains of money off of the market doing good, that means that there's definitely an equal, at least, amount of betting going on the other side, hoping that the market fails, which means that you have to pay people at some points to put out stories that are absolute just bullshit. Case in point, Goldman Sachs releases a story about about AI being completely, you know, no return on investment. Same day they roll out their AI tool to their entire organization, 3 months before the report comes out from McKinsey, talking about how minimum ROI was $3, seeing an uptrend to $8 ROI, which means $1 investment in AI was returning $3, and in most cases, or in some cases, it was returning $8. But you have Goldman saying that it's not doing anything. A few months later, MIT, of all people, releases a report. 90% of use cases, not doing anything. Totally terrible. Okay. I have to say, the reason that I know that these people are full of it, I have an AI investor that manages my account, has told me what to invest in based on long-term growth. It's very much like the Oracle that we put together. It's just based on historical pattern trending, and it's very good at predicting. So that's what I use it for. And it runs ridiculously complex algorithms I could never hope to understand. But the end result of it for me was a slew of stocks that it was like, hey, no, these are great because they're earning quarter over quarter, but they're being devalued. Like they're being devalued by public reporting. So I'm like, really? And it's like, yeah, they're making money. It's just that they're being made to look bad. GameStop. Anybody remember GameStop? Company was doing great. Just a lot of BS in, you know, trademarks, trade market papers and Market Watch and crap like that saying that the company was toxic. So I'd invested in several companies at the beginning of this year, and because of things that happened, they took a dive. Needless to say, right now, not even because of the market, all of them are, I mean, I'm averaging over 1,000% gain. I'm averaging on my portfolio over 1,000% gains. Okay. And that's because the companies I invested in have been showing, oh wait, in Q1 we did 20%. In Q2 we actually went to 25%. In Q3 we actually went to 37%. They're doing these exponential gains, and they're happening in the enterprise level because it's short term.
Yep. And it's like, again, using AI as an objective observer of facts.
Sometimes the sky isn't actually falling. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, tomorrow I want to get into that software concept with you, because I appreciated the post that you shared, but I struggle finding a place for software, you know, after this year and the next year. And how does not everybody just be considered some level of AI company? So we'll get into that tomorrow. Welcome to another week, folks, and we hope it's a good one. Have a great day, everybody.
See you guys.